You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football season is here, and that means it's time for Wings, Beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, 216-578-0850. The way to get on board here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to Steve in Brunswick first. Steve, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. First of all, in that Arizona game, you're right about Arizona butchered the when they had the ball. That's why I always believe that being smart, people say the game's 90% mental. Well, it is.
Yep.
You have to be smart in certain situations. I mean, I see these teams, a lot of times a guy, he'll go down instead of trying to fight for a yard and he fumbles. You know what I mean? Sometimes it is okay to go out,
sure.
Go down. You know what I mean? And on defense, I don't know if I agree with that going zero like that. I know it worked out, but to me that
almost burned them, though. I mean, they almost scored the very same throw before.
Yeah, I think they did it because he knew they were down 8, so they had to score. Then they had to get a 2-point. It's still only tied them. I think it may be a different situation. They might not have done that, But to me, I know it worked out, and you're going to say, oh, it was great. But to me, it was wrong. Look at the Jets. They did the same thing against Brady. They brought everybody, and Gronk just released, and nobody was there, and he walked in for a touchdown. You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
So you can't do those situations. But bringing it to the Browns, you were saying they're running the same defense. Didn't the coaches see that and say, okay, they're running a single high back every time. Can't we run a intermediate? I know there was a lot of pressure on McCown, but there's an intermediate route that's there every time if they're going to run the safety there. There's single coverage in an intermediate route every time on a pass play.
So, first of all, you're correct about that. Second of all, I think the big issue, and we've seen it, I believe, 2 weeks in a row, is that right now it appears the only receiver that the Browns have that can consistently beat single coverage, is Travis Benjamin. And they were giving him a little bit more attention. Then Gary Barnes is able to get down the seam. He ran that great sticking up move out of the seam as well. But right now, that's the problem, is that 2 weeks in a row, other than Travis Benjamin, our other receivers have been completely blanketed. And you can't continually get into that intermediate route unless you've got receivers typically that can get there. Yes, you can work it with Gary Barnage occasionally, but if there was a game where somebody came out and said, we're going to bracket Gary and let's say double Benjamin, we could be in big trouble.
Duke Johnson could have 15 receptions.
Right, and that's what he's had. I mean, right now he's become one of our leading receivers.
But when you look at man zero or, man free or the robber coverage that Carlos Dansby talked about on his pick versus Peyton Manning, the one standard, and this is, I believe, across the entire National Football League, that wins is a offensive line and a quarterback. An offensive line that can protect their quarterback or a quarterback that can read, not only keep his eyes downfield, but feel his way and feel comfortable in that pocket or when to deviate out of that pocket.
Yep.
I think in some cases, to your point, it allows him to keep his eyes down the field, and I believe wholeheartedly, and as I said, throughout the entire NFL, a good wide receiver will break free in that man zero, man free robber coverage at one point with enough time at some point. Breaking loose to allow your quarterback, and that's what I feel. You look at Big Ben. Big Ben makes all his weight on the broken play.
Of course.
He is who he is because of the broken play, but it was Hines Ward and Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown knowing and understanding and developing that connection with Ben to go, what throw does he like to make? Where should I be in his sight of vision so that he can see me? Do I break long? Do I come back? How short do I come back? Or do I sit in that zone or sit, once I feel like I've broken free to allow him to deliver me the football? And that in some cases, when our play breaks down, and we saw it even Sunday, Josh McCown stretching out the play, and then he walks out of the bounds for no gain, 1 yard,
nobody's
2 yard, 2 yard. Nobody's breaking free. And I'm not trying to say that they're not on the same page, but that's the good quarterbacks that have played with guys for a long time have that connection where you take that no-yard gain, and yes, you survive to see another day, but that's a 12-yard play, an 8-yard play that puts you in third and two instead of, third and 10.
Absolutely, and it's massive for moving the chains. And as you talked about with Ben, a lot of those big plays, I remember week one in Pittsburgh last year, he broke out and hit a nice pass to Antonio Brown for a touchdown. And let me ask you, because offenses practice scramble drills a lot, and that's to get that kind of feeling. Like, okay, if he's rolling right, does he want me to go deep? Does he want me to angle back to him? Yep. Obviously, you're going to trail with him on the sideline. Now, what if I fake going and peel back?
It's very hard to simulate. Even though you practice it, very hard to simulate what it's really like in a game.
So I was going to ask, do defenses practice it as well?
Because we do.
And it's tough because really it becomes...
It's full on one-on-one street basketball.
It's street ball.
We used to call, versus certain quarterbacks, like plaster. That was our word, plaster your coverage. That means like, by the end of the play, what flavor gum is he chewing? Because you literally turn your... And that's also when you see a good quarterback like recognize man zero with their backs turned chasing, or that inside man technique where they're chasing guys with their back turned with a down the field route. When a quarterback can find, when that parting of the seas happens and that quarterback takes off, Johnny's done it. You know, Michael Vick used to do it a bunch because they thought, man, this guy's not going to beat us with his arm.
Johnny to Trav was the one. Yeah,
exactly. Where he takes off down the middle of the field. So it is very difficult where you just turn your back to the quarterback and you guard your man on any shake move, and it becomes basketball on grass.
It basically does, and that's why you see a lot of these bigger receivers playing those jump balls. Just throw it up to them and let them
or
go.
I think in some cases that's the creation of the back shoulder throw.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Anthony now in California. Anthony, welcome to today's show.
Hey, what's up, Nate? What's up, Matt?
What up, brother?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
I'm not too good after the way the Rams beat us down. First of all, I want to say how is Joe Thomas right now making so many penalties? The guy's playing like a rookie right now. I mean, I just don't understand that, for one. And for another thing I don't understand, how is it that Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson have been playing with us for the whole season, and Robert Turbin comes in at two games, and the guy looks better than them? Maybe they should start Robert Turbin instead of Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, because he's running way better than they are, and that's just in two games. And another thing I wanted to say before I get off the phone real quick, if we're not going to use E.J. Bibbs as a tight end, how come we don't at least use him as another receiver in the slot? That guy's got to get out there and play, because those other receivers aren't doing nothing. The Browns are doing those same plays every game. The screen pass to Gabriel, the throw out to the running back. We're doing the same play every game. We need to switch up our game plan, or this is going to keep happening. But thanks for taking my call, guys. Thanks.
You got it, man. Anthony. Thank you very much for the call. And again, just briefly to talk about Joe Thomas, we played the number one defense last week in the Denver Broncos and one of the best defensive fronts in the entire league in the St. Louis Rams. So there's always going to be cause for concern. You're playing on the road. You're get off. There's going to be holding calls where, you know, a very physical, aggressive group gets the best of you. But the one point that he made about Robert Turbin is I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Robert Turbin. And you can see that he's come from some good, I mean, bloodlines of where he's been. And that was that Seattle,
sure,
you know, superior mindset. So I get why you want to see what you want to see. And in some cases, it's just got to. You got to find the right niche for each of these guys, because you can't worry about how you make them happy or who's in what package. You just got to let guys play, because that's what other teams are doing.
Well, and I look at it, and Mike Penn said in his press conference on Monday that he went to John D. Filippo and said, I want to see Robert Turbin in the second half, and Turbin came out there. Now, he had the one good run, the 22-yarder, which was good to see. He averaged 2 yards a carry on his other runs. This line still has to do a better job of getting these guys opportunities, but when I think about it, Duke has his role, and I get that. But don't you think you got to pick either Turbin or Crow? You have a big, power, aggressive
back. They're the same guy.
So pick one of them and let them get into a rhythm. Let them develop some type of, you know, continuity with the offensive line and then the flow of a game. Because right now you're basically splitting the carries equally three ways between the three of these guys. And I don't think that that's going to work for either Turbin or Crow. Both guys, to me,
it works
like
against all three of them. Because of the flow of the game, or at least for Crow and Turbin, because I think it's one or the other in the same type of packages. You can't say, you know, oh, I like Crow on this run play, but I like Turbin on this one. No, a National Football League running back should be able to run the same play.
Sure.
Now, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. But the one point that he made in referencing E.J. Bibbs, and it's something...
I was bummed that he did not play.
I know, as was I. I was waiting at, 11:30, 11:35 when we finally got you, and he was going to be inactive for the day. But here's the situation when it comes to E.J. Bibbs, and I think It's an optimum time right now to get EJ Bibbs up because Hausler's struggling with that injury, and essentially he can play that same role. But how it affects what the defense does. When we carry only two tight ends and we carry all those wide receivers, we're seeing a lot of dime, we're seeing a lot of nickel, we're seeing a lot of sub packages. And that means we get Gabriel, Hawkins, or Hartline in the slot predominantly playing their best nickel corner, right? Their nickel guy that they move inside to cover these guys. What you get when you put a guy like EJ Bibbs, who you feel is a better athlete, a better route runner, as you mentioned, elusive in the open field, breaks tackles, which he did a bunch of in the preseason, you can keep the St. Louis Rams, for the example, in base defense, and maybe not St. Louis because they had Mark Barron, so it'd be Barron walked out there on Bibbs, but you know, this week against the Cardinals, you're going to get him against a linebacker. And I think Bibbs, who's, again, he's a rookie, learning the ropes, but I think from an athletic standpoint, I'll take an athletic EJ Bibbs, you know, split open wide or running that stick and up route on a linebacker rather than Hawkins or Gabriel running the same type of routes on their best nickel corner. So that's what you get. You're going to get entirely, you're going to keep a team in base defense. I don't know if that's what Flip wants to do or we want because of our success throwing the football that we want to get a team into sub. But if we can throw out a base, I think that's a better, more advantageous way for us to take advantage of our playmakers through the air on a linebacker as opposed to another corner.
Absolutely. I wanted to see Bibbs. I was shocked that he wasn't up this week, and he was a guy who showed a lot, not only his ability to get open.
And you're risking a lot by carrying two tight ends.
Right. Especially
you go predominantly all pass if you lose one of those guys to any type of injury. Concussion, you know, a sprained ankle. You know, Gary got kicked in the face. You know, missed a couple downs.
Tough guy.
Tough guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very sad. I thought it was going to be the debut of Bibtacular, but fortunately that was not in the cards. Go to Reggie in Youngstown. Reg, how are you?
Hey, Nate, Matt, how y'all doing, man?
Good, brother. What's up?
Yeah, nothing too much, man. I just wanted to say, you know, I ain't going to stay on with you all real long enough, but just a couple things right quick.
Yep.
One is, man, like I've been saying, and I still stand by it, the offensive line, it just ain't making it, guys. You know, Nate, Matt, it's not doing it, man. It's not.
I think
it's
that's
not doing it. I mean, I'm glad to hear you guys, you know, kind of, you know, mention on that. I appreciate that because, I mean, I'm sure you guys can see it's not happening, guys. The defensive line, I thought, did pretty good. But then the problem to me was on defense was the linebackers. I think that we got significant pressure on that quarterback. But the linebackers, now that we're playing, maybe we're playing a 4-3, now maybe we don't have the two, we don't have the two, have the linebackers to play the 4-3. Because it seemed like the linebackers just wasn't there. Matt, I'm pretty sure you could see a lot of that, man, you know, as well, by playing that position, that they was not at the points of attack. The defensive line was penetrating, but the linebackers was not filling holes, you know, at the point of attack, man. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, and it's kind of what we – thank you very much for the call, Reg, as always. It's kind of what we've been consistently talking about. And, you know, there's been individuals that are shining light, in some cases, in their own words in regards to what they feel is wrong with this defense. And it coincides with the fact that I think these linebackers don't seem like they have a definitive place to go, you know. They are reading, they are thinking, you know, and then reacting. And in some cases, if you knew based on what your job was in the particular defense, along with what you read, you immediately react. That is something, since I started playing linebacker, was the epitome of what you back up the line, hence the word linebacker. And I think there's just a little too much pause in what we do, and we're wanting to be right, or we're trying to make what's happening in front of us right.
Well, and it also causes a breakdown almost in a way of your timing, right? You need to go ahead and have a natural flow to the ball. So if you are waiting for a second, you're then going to over-accelerate. Where you see, guys, we're overrunning some plays too, allowing those big cutbacks.
For example,
Todd Gurley was able to go back across the entire field.
Yeah. We're either too far ahead or we're backdooring plays, which you can't do in the National Football League.
Let me say this as well.
You go say it.
I will. What Reg says about the offensive line, I'm as disappointed in the performance of the offensive line as I am with the run defense this year. And to me, those are the two Achilles heels of this team. Josh McCown took a beating. Josh McCown, say whatever you want about him, don't ever question his toughness. He took a beating and repeatedly peeled himself up off of the carpet in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. This offensive line is not doing what it is supposed to be doing given the investment made into it. And I know they've gone against great defensive fronts, but you know it's supposed to neutralize a great defensive front or neutralize great pass rushers? It's a great offensive line.
Yeah.
And now, interestingly enough, they did a great job against Von Miller, and they did a great job against Robert Quinn. Neither one of those guys were factors in the stat sheets. But it's just the overall moving together that is struggling. And, you know, we were talking about Bibbs being up. Did you notice, I don't know if you noticed when you went back and watched, there was one play where we lined up Cam Irving as the third tight end, and he ran a seam route.
Yes.
He was not open.
No.
Which I'm surprised that they even pay attention. Now, if he was open, would they have thrown him the ball?
You don't run him to clear out.
It's a slow clear out.
It is a slow clear out. But the other play that was just very frustrating to me, and it was the Aaron Donald off-the-snap penetration when we were trying to run that power play. Alex Mack couldn't get back to block him, but Tonio was pulling around, and it was the four-yard loss, I believe, on Robert Turbin in the backfield. It was just a combination of things. It's Aaron Donald's utter confidence in his get-off, making you know him being the player that he is, getting off on a snap count that was not fooling him at all, and then I believe him having a great understanding of either reading the stance of Joel Bitonio, knowing that he was going to pull, because for him to just blow by Alex Mack, and Alex Mack, who snaps the football and knows the count, not even having a chance, like, cut him something, you know, forearm shiver him away from the play, and we had a seam behind Bitonio pulling.
You did, but Aaron Donald, a very disruptive player in the National Football League. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We will also start to get into the grades from the offensive side of the ball for the Browns against the St. Louis Rams. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.